Hey, it's June 15th, 2017. This is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans both new and old.
So, Erica,
The long national nightmare is finally over.
You mean the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Stanley Cup playoffs. Oh, my God. It was grueling. It was grueling there towards the end.
It was a trade-off of blowouts, kind of, which is not particularly the most fun to watch, I suppose, unless you're the team that is blowing the other team out. But
let's keep it clean. This is a PG podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's one of those things I don't want to completely rehash because everybody else has done it, kind of over the whole thing. But it was a game of home ice until it wasn't. And then it really wasn't spectacularly. And there was, the NHL officiating was a little on the dicey side at times. Mm-hmm. Going both ways. I mean, I'm not going to lay it, but they really screwed the pooch with Nashville this time. Even as a Philadelphia fan, and I've said this before on the podcast, like I really didn't have a beef with Pittsburgh. And I wouldn't have minded Pittsburgh winning because, again, if you're talking hockey is a narrative, which I like that aspect of hockey, the Pittsburgh narrative was pretty darn good. You have players that are on the cusp of retirement, that this may be the capstone of their career. You had the goalie drama with Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray. That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. The idea of these back-to-back wins, which hadn't happened in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
There was the incident with Sidney Crosby and PK Subban.
Yeah.
And that kind of tainted the rest of the series for me. I don't know. What were your thoughts on all of this? On Pittsburgh winning and
incident. I was not happy with his he was so charged up. I mean, it was really fun to watch him play because he is an amazing player and he was just fired up. But it was like he was so fired up, he just couldn't keep anything in check. And I just really did not appreciate seeing him, like, you know, bashing somebody's head into the ground or, you know, throwing a water bottle. I'm sorry, but that looked like it was on purpose. That made me less excited about their win because I was with you. I was, you know, it's kind of neat to see a team win two times in a row if it's not a team that I absolutely hate, which I certainly don't hate the Penguins. I really did want Nashville to win. However, I was going back and listening to, I think it was two episodes ago on episode 10 of Beginner's Puck when we were talking about the Clarence Campbell Bowl. And remember, I said that as much as I wanted Nashville to win, a downside to Nashville winning would be that, Mike Fisher didn't touch the Clarence Campbell Bowl. And if they had won, then everybody would still be like, oh, don't touch it, don't touch it. Whereas instead we had, we had Sidney Crosby picking up their trophy and skating off with it like immediately. So maybe in the West, finally, people will be over that stupid superstition and they'll pick up the damn bowl.
That's a good point. That is really a good point. Yeah, I really wanted Nashville to win only because that is such a great story. And we've talked about that. Everybody's talked about that. With the synchronicity between the city, the town, the fans. I mean, just it was an amazing, amazing thing. And honestly, we talked about this too. The Pittsburgh media has just been so flippin' annoying. Like, it just would have been great satisfaction to see them whine more. But all in all, like, I would have been really happy with the Pittsburgh win. But it just, you know, Sidney Crosby should have concussion risk, like, tattooed on his ass. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's had so many concussions. He has missed so much time. To have him, of all people, do this. And I'm not saying that there wasn't dirty plays on both sides, because hockey at the playoff level was just, it was just gritty and dirty on both
and
sides.
And even in, like, during that play, Crosby was saying that PK had, like, a hold of his foot in some way, which I couldn't see it, but I absolutely believe that. But
But that, for that player to do that thing, and for him to be the captain, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe this is an antiquated notion. Maybe I am naive, but I kind of hold captains to a little bit of a higher standard. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always play out, But for that person at that time to do something like that with his history with concussions and head injuries, it sat so wrong with me that I was like, okay, we're done now. Mm-hmm. And I think I even tweeted this on I don't know if it was my personal Twitter or the beginner's puck that, you know, I've never loathed Pittsburgh until that moment. Like, I never just felt yuck. Mm-hmm. I was never on the Sidney Crosby is a terrible person bandwagon until that moment. But yeah, so that kind of tainted the little, I didn't watch any of the coverage of the parade. I just left a bad taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. So from that, and I'm sure I'll get over it. I'm sure next season I'll be fine. But
I did see pictures of him. I think it was 2.5 hours after the game was over. He was still like in his, like he was still wearing his uniform shorts. He was still cradling the cup and he was in the dressing room like with his mom. And I was like, okay, well, that did a little bit to soften my heart.
Yeah. And you have to, even as much as he wasn't the one who won the game, he wasn't the one who was producing the goals. There was a lot of people in that team putting up numbers.
Absolutely.
But it was he left everything on the ice. When he was out there, he was like a madman. Mm-hmm. And, I got to respect that a little bit, too, as much as I don't want to because I'm petty like that. But, you know, it was his enthusiasm and it was his just that fire that just really carried that team through. Mm-hmm. I really honestly and truly believe that. And I just wish he wasn't such a jerk. Like, be okay with this. But that was a jerk move, Sidney, if you're listening to this podcast, which I know you're totally not. You should be ashamed of yourself because I am. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that dominated the hockey news cycle for a while. But now it's done.
It's
and
over.
We can talk about other things, which has been really exciting. So, like, what has been catching your attention? I don't know how much you troll through hockey Twitter, hockey Tumblr, hockey news, like I do.
I certainly don't, not as much as you, in part this past week because life has been ridiculous and busy, but I have enjoyed just sort of, you know, poking my head in and out. And I think one of the things that makes me laugh the most are the people that I follow that love that love hockey so much is just mm-hmm. the random tweets from them being like, is it October yet? Like,
oh,
hockey has stopped. What do I do with myself now? And I'm like, I feel you, sister. I feel you.
It legitimately stopped as of as we're recording this on a Wednesday evening. It stopped on Tuesday because that's when the AHL played their final game for the Calder Cup, which it was the Griffins, I believe, beat the Syracuse Crunch. So it's Detroit's minor league team beat the Tampa Bay minor league team. So that was it. That was the last hockey being played that I know of. I could be wrong. There could be something happening internationally that I'm not aware of. I'm not going to claim to be all-knowing on everything. But that was like the last hockey that was rolling across the NHL network. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like we've got months now. Like months. I don't know. How are we gonna do this?
I don't know.
It's going to be really hard.
Well, in my house, there will be lots of old hockey on YouTube happening. I can guarantee it.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But we still have, there's still lots of Stanley Cup things that are going to be happening over like the next couple of weeks. You're going to be seeing lots of Stanley Cup pictures and photos because, you know, let's talk a little bit about the traditions. I'm not going to make this a What the Puck because I have other things we're going to talk about What the Puck today. But some of the Stanley Cup traditions is, you know, once, like you said, Sidney Crosby was hanging onto that sucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take it back to their home city and they do a parade and, you know, it weighs around. But what I think is really cool is the cup day, which every player gets a day with the cup and the cup handler who is, you know, this gentleman that walks around in white gloves and cradles the cup gently after it's been mightily abused by the players, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of, I believe, disinfects it periodically.
I would hope so. Golly, I would hope so. What a job that must be. Like, I mean, it's on the one hand, it feels like it's kind of a prestigious thing. Like, you know, this is the Stanley Cup. That's amazing. So, and you are, you know, you're the caretaker of it. On the other hand, like, you're just using a heck of a lot of Windex probably and just scrubbing a lot and standing around.
Kind of be Lysol. I mean,
yeah.
We have mentioned after, because we were watching some of the games together, like I've never seen a trophy in any sporting event be just abused as much as the Stanley Cup. And I don't mean like there people are bashing it around, but you know, there's pictures of it in pools. Mm-hmm. There's pictures of people eating cereal out of it, drinking things out of it. Babies are in it. Mm-hmm. It's been places and done amazing things because whatever player has it that day can do whatever they want with it. I guess within reason. I don't know where their rules.
I'm not sure.
You can't to look into that. But I know that, and then there's always the videos of the winning team like taking the cup to like fans or something, like they've won a contest. So there's all sorts of things you're going to be seeing with the Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh Penguin players. But yeah, and then they all get their names engraved on it, which is very cool. And, you know, I was reading a little bit about the history of the cup when we were talking about the Calder Cup and the Memorial Cup and all the other cup suspicions, the Campbell Cup. And somebody was saying that when this ring, because it originally was just a bowl, right? It was a bowl that
It was still referred to as the cup, but it is literally the thing that's like a bowl at the top of it.
Right. So that was the original Stanley Cup, was just this bowl thing, like a punch bowl kind of thing. And over the years, they started adding, and the whole remit of the bowl was the team would get it. And I think Lord Stanley himself, who was the person who actually gifted the Stanley Cup to the hockey world, said, you know, the team will take it, but they have to give it back. They don't get to keep it forever. They have to give it back, and it's awarded the next year. And if they so choose at their own expense, they can add their names on a silver ring around the bottom. And of course, I don't think they make them pay for it anymore, but I don't know. Maybe they do.
I doubt it.
But every year, the winning team, every member of the winning team will get their name engraved on one of those bands around the cup. And then there's only so many bands that will fit. I think they've kind of peaked out where they are now. And then when those bands get filled up, they take the oldest one off and put a new one on.
And that goes in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I believe.
Right? The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. And you can see all the old bands in there. But somebody was saying that like, there's some iconic players who are on that band who are due to come off. I think it was like... I don't know. Was it Bobby Orr or somebody or Gordie Howe or somebody like a big hockey
big names.
A big, big name that like all of a sudden the Stanley Cup is not going to have one of these names on it because the last game that he played, you know, will be on that ring that goes off. So it's just like all sorts of cool traditions. And wasn't there somebody from the Oilers who like tried to slide his dad's name in there and they actually had to exit off?
Yeah, that's one of the ways. There are replicas of the Stanley Cup that they use for, you know, making commercials and that kind of thing. A number of replicas. And that's one of the ways that you can tell the replicas is, I can't remember what year team it was, like 1983 or something like that. Yeah. So if there's a name that is, if you don't see a name that is X'd out, that's a replica because only the real cup has the XXXXX over the person's name.
The NHL was not pleased. They're like, nope, that can't happen. Uh-huh. We're just going to give it back to the silversmith and they're going to tap little X's all over it. It's like a mark of shame. But anyway, Stanley Cup is really cool and we're going to be seeing lots more of that. But now everybody, all of the focus in Hockeylandia has shifted to the expansion draft.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas is cooking it. They're having press releases. There's a picture of George Gallant standing behind the bench for the very first time. They've partnered with a hotel, which looks like a really kind of douchebaggy hotel, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I didn't see the hotel. I saw him standing behind the bench, and I was like I admit it gave me kind of little chills. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the first time. Yeah,
I know.
But yeah, I didn't see the douchey hotel.
Well, yeah, it's like they have dancer dealers or something.
Oh, boy.
Like, yeah, so there's a, you know, and I was clicking on it thinking, because, you know, we're hoping to get to Vegas next year. Thinking, oh, I wonder if they're having any, like, hockey things. And I accidentally clicked on the, so you want to be a dancer dealer, here's what you do. Like, no, not really. Yeah, so it doesn't. It's Vegas. I mean, who knows? It's going to be trashy no matter what.
Pretty much.
So remember last episode we talked about there was a bunch of really important dates coming up. They're here.
Yeah,
those dates are here. I know. So tomorrow well, actually today, because we always record this
today as this drops.
So today, the day this drops, the day that you might be listening to this, if you're one of the fans who we love and adore who listen to us immediately.
As opposed to the fans that we love and adore who wait to listen to us later.
Yeah, I don't blame you because I do that too. The buyout period and the deadline for clubs asking players with no move clauses to whether they will be willing to be placed on waivers to be bought for the purpose of being bought out for the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a big deal because we talked about this before, and people that have an NTC or a NMV, or I'm sorry, NMV, mm-hmm. They have to be protected in the expansion draft because you're allowed to protect either eight skaters, which can be eight of anything, mm-hmm. or you have to have, you know, so many defensemen and some, you know, goalie, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. So it's kind of a big deal if you have a player that maybe is you a bunch of players that you want to protect, but those players you have to protect. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a limited amount of time once the protected list, which is going to be out on Sunday, the 18th, which is mm-hmm. really exciting. They're saying they're thinking about 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time,
yep.
of all the players that are being protected. And at that point, they are allowed to interview the UFAs and the RFAs, which will give them a little bit of extra time before the actual draft. And I realize that we're talking about a lot of abbreviations, so maybe mm-hmm. this would be a good time to explain some of that. So, Erica, why don't we talk about what all these crazy abbreviations mean?
It's time for What the Puck. Those things that everyone knows, but we all had to learn sometime. So, Deb, what the puck is all that alphabet soup you were just spewing?
All right. So, that's a really good way to put it. So, if you go on one of the many websites out there, even though I'm still mourning General Fanager, Cat Friendly is another one, which gives you an idea of where your team is, or any team, they're all up there, where your team is as far as cap space, because we've talked about that. Each team only has so much money to spend, mm-hmm. right? And players can negotiate after the last collective bargaining agreement. They put some protections in because while they are assets, they are also people.
You know? Yes.
They want to be treated fairly. So one of the things that they are allowed to do when negotiating a contract is to negotiate a no trade clause or a no movement clause. So an NTC is a no trade clause, and an NMT is a no movement clause. Now, they sound kind of similar, but they actually do have some really, really important differences. So a no trade clause is just what it says. A player can't be traded without the player's permission, but that player can be placed on waivers, and they can be sent to the minors without permission. So when a player is placed on waivers, it means the club, the NHL club that they're playing for, doesn't have a need for them now. It may be, mm-hmm. and there's lots of reasons for that. It may be they want to bring somebody else up. It may be that this player is not producing, or they feel that there might be some more developmental time. But basically, they can't just say, we're sending you, if unless they're on an entry-level contract or have a two-way contract. An entry level is a very restricted kind of contract that's given to young players coming mm-hmm. into the league.
So there's some
the noobs. They have some protections that basically ensures mm-hmm. that they're not going to get chewed up and spit out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And unless they have that kind of a contract, there are some protections built in. So if you were sent down, if you were put on waivers, rather than just being sent down to the minors, which you can be done on an entry-level contract, mm-hmm. they have to basically say, we don't need you right now, but if another team will come in and say they might want you and they are willing to match your salary, then it's called being claimed off of waivers. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, this is a way that a team can kind of scoop in and get people. And usually, I mean, GMs and coaches, like, they don't want those players to be claimed off waivers. Mm-hmm. They really do want them to go down to the minor league. Mm-hmm. But they have to make this offer out there, and it's so a player, you know, might get snapped up and get back on, you know, get back in the NHL level in another team. Mm-hmm. So if you have a no trade clause, they can't do that to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And usually a no trade clause, they may have a couple teams that they're willing to be traded to. Like, they might have a short list. There's still some wiggle room there, but it's nothing can be done. Basically, nothing can be done without the player's permission. Mm-hmm. So a decision can't be made for you without your input. Now, no movement clause is very similar to that, except they can't trade you or you can't be sent to the minors without mm-hmm. your permission. So that's a little bit tighter. It's a little bit stricter. Mm-hmm.
A good way to remember that is, you know, no movement clause, you know, being sent anywhere would be considered yep. movement. So you can't be sent down because that is a movement.
Right. And the only way out of that clause is if your contract's bought out by your club. So, mm-hmm. you know, they can throw money at you and make you go away.
Yes.
But that might work out in your favor. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But they can't do anything without your permission, basically. So this week, all of the teams that might have had, they have too many players that they have to protect. And so this is the week that they're talking to those players and saying, hey, what do you think? Do you want to waive this? Because yeah. we really want to protect all these other players over here.
We don't want to protect you. Can you please waive your no move clause?
That has to be awkward. What an awkward conversation that has to be. And apparently the Senators approached Dion Phaneuf and asked him to waive his no mm-hmm. movement clause because he's carrying a $7 million a year salary mm-hmm. hit. And apparently he said no.
As yeah. is his right under
As
the contract.
As is his right. He made that contract. But they also asked Marc-Andre Fleury to waive his, and he agreed.
Mm-hmm. Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
The goalie that got them to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And then didn't get to play in most of the Stanley Cup Final games.
Yeah, he had one bad game against the Senators, and they pulled him, and they put Matt Murray in, and Matt Murray took them home.
The rest of the way.
So, but he did agree.
Yeah,
He waved his claws. And I just, oh, my heart. You know, there was a moment, we talked about the Stanley Cup playoffs. There was a moment he got the cup and he handed the cup to Matt Murray. And it was like, it was such a passing of the torch moment. Like, my heart just was, I love Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm sorry. I have a little bit of a goalie. I have a soft spot for him because he's just such a nice guy, but he's also like a funny guy. And yeah. So apparently, you know, he is willing to be moved.
But for Vegas only, I believe he waived that clause for Vegas only.
I think that's it. So now there's all sorts of debate. Like, okay, we talked about this before, is Vegas going to claim these players and then flip them or what? You know, a really good example of a GM doing something really smart with no move and no trade clauses was Philadelphia Flyers getting Filippula from Tampa Bay mm-hmm. because that was a player who had a no trade clause, and he had a limited no trade, the mm-hmm. sort of thing where you had so many teams that he'd be willing to go to. So if he wasn't traded or didn't agree to be moved, they would have had to protect him in the expansion draft and possibly expose players that mm-hmm. they really didn't want to. So when Philadelphia Flyers traded Mark Streit to Tampa, and Tampa turned around for Filippula, and then mm-hmm. Tampa turned around and traded Streit to Pittsburgh for a future draft pick, Tampa, like, they had, now they've cleared this player off their books. They don't have to protect him. They don't have to pay a salary. They cleared some salary space, and they get a future draft pick, and they're still retaining like 4% or something of Mark Street's salary. So mm-hmm. that was a way that a GM was really smart about playing this whole expansion draft game that's going on. So
it's intricate stuff.
It really is. So that's the difference between a no trade clause and a no movement clause. Now, right after that's done, we said Vegas Golden Knights is going to get an opportunity to talk to the restricted free agents and the unrestricted free agents ahead of the negotiation period against anybody else, because I think it's July 1st when it's open season. So if you have a player on your team who is a restricted free agent or an unrestricted free agent,
that's RFA and UFA.
That's right. Another alphabet soup. Mm-hmm. If you have a player on your team whose contract is running up, okay? So when a player signs with a team, first they typically have an entry-level contract if they're a young player coming up. And then when that contract's over, as was with Shane Gostisbehere this year, you have to negotiate a new contract, which he did. And he negotiated a contract for whatever amount of money he did. And he'll be with us for a very long time. Thank you very much, Ron Hextall, for doing that. But once that contract's up, depending on their age and depending on the conditions of the contract, they can be a restricted free agent. And what a restricted free agent is somebody who, if their team can negotiate, the team that they're on can negotiate and say, this is what we want to do. But another team can also come in and make an offer on that player. And the player has a right to agree to it or not agree to it. But basically, if another team comes in and places an offer on that player, the team that he's already on has to match it or they lose that player.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little gamesmanship there.
Yep.
Now, there has been instances in the past where a team has come in and made an outrageous offer on a player. And I think the Philadelphia Flyers did this a few years ago with Shea Weber. They went in when he hit his unrestricted free agent or his restricted free agency period and made some ridiculous offer, and Nashville matched it. So he did stay, but he got a huge bump in salary.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That sort of big movement doesn't happen very often because GMs are, you don't want to screw another GM over, right?
Yeah, you don't want to make an enemy, usually, I suppose. There's... Mostly, yeah. you want to keep the wheels greased so that you can make those trades in the future. You don't want to burn bridges, just like in any kind of job. But sometimes it happens,
right? Well, then you have the unrestricted free agent, and that means your contract is up.
Yep,
and your team that you're on doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to negotiate with you. You are free to make your own deal. This is when you call your agent and say, start beating those bushes, because what's happening here? If your team is not pursuing you hotly, which that does happen, or they may not have enough money to pursue you you hotly, then at that point you are on the open market and you can go wherever you would like, whoever's going to pay you the money. Sometimes this is a case of usually at these steps, when you're a player on their way up or a young player sort of moving through the leagues, you're getting a salary bump every time. And then there's times as a player is getting to the end of their career that they're on their way down and they're getting a reduction in salary. They're not as valuable. They're not as producing as much. But they still may be a valuable player as far as, in the locker room, providing that experience. And it doesn't mean you're done. It just means that, your usefulness is perhaps not as great as a younger player who's sort of at the beginning of their career. So, yeah, there's going to be all sorts of those stories coming up in the next couple weeks. But those big dates are, this weekend and early next week, because once the draft is over, we're moving right into the free trade, the free trade period. Which is where we had the blockbuster PK Subban Shea Weber trade last year. Like, nobody saw that coming. That was big.
Yeah. So do you think that Vegas is going to take Fleury? Or do you think they're going to just do something totally wacky and take somebody else, a different goalie?
I honestly, I could be wrong. And this may just be sentiment speaking. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking they take him. I mean, why wouldn't you take him? He still has a lot of skill. And goalies, and we've talked about this, goalies are one of those positions that don't age out as quickly as, say, a forward.
Mm-hmm.
Forwards tend to burn out much quicker. Defensemen have a slightly longer run, it seems. And goalies, goalies can go a while. And again, just he could be the face of that franchise. Do you know what I mean? He could be... he's won two Stanley Cups. You know, he's been in the playoffs how many times? Like just having that presence in the locker room, I think would be great, especially if you have a team that is sort of kind of, you know, all, this is going to be a mishmash of a team. You know, I don't know. I think if I were Vegas, I would, because he's a marquee name, mm-hmm. you know? I would really feel badly if they took him and flipped him, because I think he's one of those players that, you know, he would just be really good. He played for Pittsburgh for like 13 years. I mean, it's got to be hard moving to a new team. Mm-hmm. I give him a lot of credit for even waiving that clause, because, you know, part of you would just be like, no, I'm just going to stay. I don't think I'm going to do that, but I don't mm-hmm. know. What do you think?
I don't know. I agree with everything you said. I think that Vegas should take him, probably, because he's a tried and true goalie. The thing is, he has been in Pittsburgh for a really long time, and yes, he's really good, but as we've mentioned before, goalie is a position that has an awful lot to do with your state of mind and where your head's at, and having a giant, you know, I realize these are professionals. These are, you know, professional sports people, and he's going to be good wherever he goes, but the difference between being good and being excellent for a goalie mm-hmm. can be a very, very fine line and can make a huge difference when it comes down to play. So just the idea of the fact that he was asked to waive his clause and that he did it. It's like, you know, if he hadn't, then there probably would have been some resentment from the management at the very least, if not the other players. And so he was kind of, you know, backed into a corner. He didn't have to, but he agreed to. So I don't know. I feel like, what if Vegas decides to go a different direction, take him and flip him, do something else? I mean, maybe they just decide to go with a different personality type or something like that. Somebody who is a little younger and a little fresher. And I know I'm not even going to make any guesses as to who that might be. We don't necessarily know, you know, which goalies and which backups are going to be protected and not at this point until mm-hmm. Sunday. So I don't know. I'm not willing to bet on it, but I feel like it's the smart move for them to do that, to take it. Well, because he is tried and true, and you're right. They could build a team around him as a person with a lot of experience.
Right. And here's the thing with goalies. Like, goalies want to play. Yep. Goalies want to be the number one goalie. They want to mm-hmm. be on the ice. They're having no fun sitting on the bench.
Yep.
And yes, while you have to have two goalies, Dallas will show you that, like, having two goalies play in tandem is not a good thing. Goalies, like, you know, the more they play, the better they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they can get a little streaky when they're on and they're off. Yep. So if he really wants to play and be the number one goalie on the ice, that may make him happier than riding the bench in Pittsburgh, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, does he, how many more years does he think he has in him, and how does he want to spend those years? I mean, that could be a big part of the mindset as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we, so far as of today, there's been no negotiation with Steve Mason. So it looks like he's probably the Philadelphia Flyer goalie. So, you know, he may be out there as well. They did renegotiate Michael Neuver's contract, but George McPhee, I had to laugh at this because George McPhee, who is the GM of Vegas Golden Knights, said that he considered Michael Neuwirth a perfect goalie. Just technically perfect, and just, you know, gosh, if all those other people wouldn't let the pucks by him. Yeah, I don't know. I think they have a history in Washington, which I think recruited, which actually drafted Neuwirth back in the day. I'm digging deep, so if this is incorrect, I apologize, but I'm not looking at anything here. I'm going off of memory. So I think there might be some history there, but we just, you know, we renegotiated a contract with him. So I don't know. Maybe we could get Fleury in Philadelphia.
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know that would necessarily be a good thing, because I like him too much to subject him to some of our more rabid fan base.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, we can be a little rocky. I hate to say it. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I don't hate to say it. You guys can be a little rocky.
We can be a little rocky at times, not going to lie. maybe not as sassy as Nashville,
but well, there's sassy and then there's Philadelphia.
Hey. Hey. Jeez. Harsh there, podcast partner.
Well, I'm just, you know, there's I feel like there's a little bit more anger behind the rabid part of the fan base in Philadelphia than there is behind the, you know, there's some anger in Nashville, but I feel like there's more sass. There's more catfish than, you know, lovingly given bracelets on the ice.
This is the East Coast. We're just also darn cynical and just, you know, we haven't won. Our city hasn't won anything in a really long time. It wears on you, man. Okay? It just wears on you. So, all right. I think we can close this out.
Yeah.
With something maybe a little bit more positive than your dragging Philadelphia fans. Ha! See if I take you to a Flyers game when you come visit. I have a great hockey tidbit to close this out with. So a while back, I talked about the Dallas Stars Jumbotron operator and how great they were and how sassy they were. But I think I might have a new favorite social media person in the world of hockey. And that would be the Vegas Golden Knights, whoever it is that runs the Vegas Golden Knights Twitter account, because they have been on point, and just I would recommend a follow because they're giving you very good information, but you know they're fun, they're playful, and I really really appreciate a playful, sassy corporate Twitter media account. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this. On June 9th of this year, the Anaheim Ducks, and a lot of the teams have been doing this. They've been saying, hey, we know there's lots of questions about the expansion draft. Hit us up. We'll see what we can talk about. So Anaheim Ducks posted a tweet. It said, have expansion draft questions? We're here to help. Check out our rundown on what you need to know. And then there's a link to their website where you can get some information. And Vegas Golden Knights responded, so Anaheim Ducks, 7 forwards and 3 defensemen or 8 skaters? We're asking for a friend. And it just it was so cute. It was very cute. So it's that kind of stuff just delights me. When Bailey, who is the LA Kings mascot, gets on and starts tweeting, and you know, when the mascots tweet each other back, you know, that kind of thing. I live for that. I'm sorry. I think it's adorable. It humanizes the teams a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that tweet was really funny. So whoever you are, Vegas Golden Knights social media person, who's probably some intern sitting in a cold, dark office with the air conditioning blasting, I salute you.
Hear, hear. That's a great tidbit. Good way to close out the app, Deb.
Thank you. I thought it was pretty cute, too. So you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at BeginnersPuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at TheIncomparable.com/puck.